Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And I'm going to introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, yes, Dr. Joel Schultz, retired police chief. Thanks so much, doctor, for being on the show. He had a priestly collar on the other day, so some people probably thought that he was with the priesthood. There you go. Yeah, that's it. That's the look we're looking for. We've also got retired LAPD Commander Lieutenant Jeff Wenninger, also author of the new book On Thin Ice, and you get more information. I've actually got it behind me, and if people watch the video portion of the show, more information at onthiniceBook.com. Of course, Dr. Joel Schultz has got a ton of stuff out there as well in print, and SchultzCo@gmail.com is his email address if you guys are interested in getting anything as well. A shout out to our sponsors, guys. Please support our sponsors. They go the great lengths to bring this quality content to you. We have our title sponsor, Gauls at Gauls.com, ComplianteTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, and they've got the guns. We got GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.life, SafeguardRecruiting.com, our streaming sponsor, and thanks to them, we're streaming to over 1 million followers right now during the live show. TwoBells.com, they built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com, and we got really, really cool gear, like the shirt I'm wearing, the shirt Jeff's wearing. In fact, the only person on the show that doesn't have any Leo Roundtable bling, it's the chief. Here we go. Hey, Jeff, I think it's time for us to hold our coffee mugs up and just kind of show the chief what he's missing out on here. We will have to get that fixed for you, chief. I know. You've got your mic open. You're ready to talk. I know.
That's not entirely true, because I did buy some of the Leo Roundtable boxer briefs. So,
we'll take your word for that. Okay.
Yeah, take my word for it.
Okay. Hey, a shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFB.com. Thanks for carrying the contract, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com, and Travis Shades with LawOfficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make the show happen. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? You know, guys, we pretty much have the stories broken up into three categories. We got main topics, they have a tendency. We start off with mains. They're a little bit deeper. We spend a little bit more time on those, and then we go to update articles. So if it's something that we previously have talked about, or maybe something involving a litigation, lawsuits, cops getting in the grease, or maybe getting vindicated, that's where that's going to fall. And then we got video, so stories that have a video component. So our first main story, it is illegal alien gets arrested after offering a $10,000 bounties to murder ICE agents on TikTok. Yeah, so that's what we're going to start off with. And then we got DOJ. They fired two deep state prosecutors after leaks linked to Letitia James' case. Wow, they still haven't learned. We have additional body cam released in the fatal shooting of a murder suspect outside the Alliance Towers. And we've also got an armed suspect failed to register as a sex offender. He ends up getting shot during a struggle. That's an interesting one. We have two deputies in Florida fired after a time card audit uncovers thousands of falsified pay. So we've got some double dipping going on. We've got another one, Lenexa Police Department. They have a 911 call on body cam from a June incident that left the man dead. And then finally, a Toronto officer pleads guilty to assault and careless use of a firearm in a shooting that left the man injured. Yeah, whenever the cops, you know, plead guilty, my radar goes up, because I always want to see what that has to deal with. And, you know, are they falling on the sword or what's going on? So if you guys are ready, let's take the first story here. And it's the main story, RVM News, which is redvoicemedianews.com. Illegal alien gets arrested after offering a $10,000 bounty, so more than one, to murder ICE agents on TikTok. You know, last week we covered how at least, you know, the DOJ was saying, even Tom Holman, that this is a huge issue. And that's why I think it's important to remind the public that it's just not something that people are saying. It's actually going on. So, but the criminals aren't necessarily smart, right? So this Dallas guy gets arrested this week after posting a TikTok video offering bounties for the murders of U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement officers, federal prosecutors, and Homeland Security officials. So listen to this. The federal authorities identify... Let me get this correct here. They're looking to knock off the ICE agents, but I guess it's who this information is coming from, the federal prosecutors and from the Homeland Security officials. And the federal authorities identify the suspect as 23-year-old. So he's young, Eduardo Aguilar. He's a Mexican national, and he's living in Dallas. So according to the court records that were cited by prosecutors, our bad guy Aguilar's TikTok post contains Spanish language texts but it was translated to, I need 10 dudes in Dallas with determination who aren't afraid to. And then he's got a couple of skull emojis. And then he says, prosecutors say that the skull emojis are commonly used to signify the word die. And a second line of text in the post showed it was shown in red and white, and it stated 10K for each ICE agent. And not too smart. Aguilar, our bad guy, appeared in federal court on Wednesday, ordered the two be detained in federal custody pending further proceedings. He faces statutory maximum penalty of 5 years in federal prison if he's convicted on the charge of transmitting a threat in interstate or foreign commerce. So he really screwed up, especially even on the medium that he used in order to do this. Dr. Schultz.
You know, this guy is either a classic dumb criminal or there's something else going on. And I don't want to, you know, cloud the issue with possible conspiracy theories. But, you know, is there really $100,000 available to this guy to hand out for rewards? Is somebody poking him and making him or encouraging him to do this just to spread fear among the public and among federal agents? So, you know, the whole story may be right there on the surface, a dumb guy blowing smoke and making stupid claims, or it's part of a fabric that's being weaved to kind of undermine the whole system. And I'm not sure which it is.
Interesting. You know, I know that the title of the article said that he was an illegal alien and that he got popped. I didn't see that elsewhere in the article. Lieutenant Jeff.
Yeah, you know, it's actually quite interesting. I didn't think of that, the second aspect that the chief had mentioned, that perhaps, because I did think if an element of the crime is the ability to pay, we probably don't have the elements of the crime because this guy probably doesn't have two nickels to rub together. But I didn't take it to the next step where the chief did. You know, perhaps just like we have these groups that are traveling around the country and taking advantage of these demonstrations and, you know, getting involved in riotous activities, and they're being funded. It is potentially likely that this individual, this may be a real thing, and he may be getting funded by somebody. Who knows? It'd be interesting to maybe unpack that and dig a little deeper.
I hope somebody is.
Yeah, hopefully they are. But you know, unfortunately, whether it's ICE or it's, you know, my experience during my time with the LAPD. You know, you could drive up and down many of these alleys in these gang-ridden areas, and you'd see LAPD crossed out 187, which is the penal code section in California for murder. And, you know, if you were really an aggressive officer, you put a lot of heat on the gang members, you oftentimes could see your name there and crossed out. And it was basically telling you to stand down. Now, granted, there wasn't a financial incentive that was being advertised, and it wasn't being done, you know, electronically through the internet and things like that. But, you know, unfortunately, law enforcement, not only in this era with ICE, but, you know, during the 3 decades that I worked in Los Angeles, we had the same type of, you know, threatening environment that we worked in. But hopefully they're on top of this thing and they're going to resolve it. And that he needs to be held to the fullest extent of the law. Be held accountable. So
Jeff, in LA, was it a credibility thing to off a cop with the gangs, or was it don't mess with the cops because we don't want the heat?
Well, you know, really, it's the latter, because the gangs are a criminal enterprise, and that's how they fund their activities, is the criminal activity, and they don't want to bring any unnecessary attention to themselves, because the reality is, if you kill a police officer, there's going to be a lot of heat coming down there. Just about every resource, state, federal, local law enforcement resources, is going to be thrown at that gang. And, you know, there have been times when officers have been killed, and, you know, the gang itself will execute the gang member that was responsible for it because it brought so much heat to the gang. So it's not unheard of that you have them go after officers, but it's frowned upon within the gang. They don't want the extra heat. It's a criminal enterprise. They want to make their money.
I've gotten explicit death threats. I don't know, Chip, you know, working where you've worked, I suspect you might have been a little bit careful about looking over your shoulder.
I've had a hit at one time, and from some of the stuff I was doing, and then there was some other stuff that went on. So yeah, but you know, it's the most concerned I ever was was when I was looking under my car, is when I was investigating the state attorney's office. That was what gave me the most pucker factor, believe it or not.
Looking for wires hanging down?
Yeah. Yeah, actually, yeah. Yeah. We got Brian Spencer weighing in from Facebook. Ability or not, if there are any takers on his offer, they might take it seriously. So good point. Gentlemen, we're coming up on our first commercial break here. Let me just mention that since Jeff is on the show, we will be doing a Two Bells giveaway. So that means if you want to win that $20 Two Bells giveaway code, all you have to do is type in the number 2, the letter B for Bell, and give us your email address as long as you haven't won in the last 90 days, and you'll get $20 off your purchase at LeoRoundtable.com at our online store. The first $20 is on them. Can't beat that. There we go. Commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys. You know, as police officers, we all know we can get our gear from a lot of different sources. And when you throw the online mix into it, it's almost endless, right? I mean, the possibilities. But I want to remind everybody, but what's really important here, it's supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. And even their motto is listen to this. Even their motto is, you know, proud to serve those who serve, which of course they do in spectacular fashion. Not only that, they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Gauls at Gauls.com, and they're going to even do you one better. For the loyal listeners of the show, they've got a radio code where you can get 15% off your next purchase, and that is radio15. So type in radio15 in order to get 15% off your next purchase at Gauls.com, and they have gift cards. We give away a couple every week on the show. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card, and they will be your new best friends. Again, that is Gauls at Gauls.com. All right. Now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies and ComplianTechnologies.com. And you know, guys, they're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low optics manner, utilizing their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Their flagship product, we all know by now, it's called the Glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And you heard that correctly. I said no injuries. The Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conducted energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they have virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions has ever come along. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip sent you, or Jeff. Again, that is ComplianTechnologies.com. I think you guys will be impressed with the website. And also, you have to watch the videos. They got the coolest videos, ComplianTechnologies.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the Law Enforcement Talk Show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Joel Schultz and also Lieutenant Jeff Wenninger. And Jeff also has that new book on thin ice at onthinicebook.com in case you want to check that out. You know, we've been talking about a very real threat, at least we think, to our ICE agents. And they nabbed the guy that made it in Texas, and he's an illegal, which it's just like icing on the cake, right? You can't write a better story. Are you guys ready to move on to our first update article, the DOJ firing a couple of prosecutors? Very interesting. RVMnews.com. So the DOJ fires two deep state prosecutors after leaks are linked to Letitia James' case. So the DOJ, they've dismissed these two prosecutors from the Eastern District of Virginia, and it's an internal shakeup. And there were a series of leaks reportedly and growing tensions between career prosecutors and the new Trump administration appointees. So according to reports from Politico and MSNBC on Friday, and of course, I know the sources are Politico and MSNBC, but let's just assume for once they get their act together and it's credible information. Assistant U.S. Attorneys Elizabeth Ucey and Kristen Byrd ended up being terminated from their positions. The firings came shortly after New York Attorney General Letitia James was indicted by a federal grand jury in the same district on charges of bank fraud and making false statements to a financial institution. Now, sources said, they were cited actually by an independent journalist named Julie Kelly. She said that Ucey and the other prosecutor, Byrd, that they were escorted from their offices and stripped of their security clearances after allegedly leaking sensitive case information to members of the press. Ouch. You know, this reminds me more of like Trump 1.0, except we didn't have anybody that was able to figure out who the leakers were. And of course, that ain't happening on Trump 2.0. I don't know if there's any surprises on your end, gentlemen, or if anyone wants to talk on this, we can go to the next story. But it's good to hear that at least the Trump organization has got, I don't know who's doing the investigation. It doesn't really matter to me, that they've got people listening and watching and figuring out who's hooking up with the media and leaking this information. Chief Schultz.
I just hope this is not a political purge, as is going to be presumed by some. You know, they really need independence in the Department of Justice, and if this is something that will encourage that, and let's just look at the facts and operate on the facts, then I think it's probably a righteous dismissal. And maybe rooting out some people who wanted to discredit the current head of the Department of Justice and the current White House occupant by leaking this information. So the leaks are inexcusable. The motive for it is questionable, but it's definitely unethical. And if a grand jury indicts somebody, it's got to have, I mean, I know what we'd say about grand juries, but if there's an indictment, there's some kind of factual basis for the charge. And so for a prosecutor who's not involved in the case to say, nah, this is political and this doesn't make any sense and this is BS, just not appropriate. It's not a fact-based observation, at least that's my thought.
Good point, Chief. And I, you know, in my mind, I think, when was the last time we really had people worried about leaking information? I mean, obviously, there's a new guy sitting in that chair, you know, in the White House. But for how long have leaks been happening? Look at the Supreme Court leak involving Roe versus Wade and stuff, and the chaos that caused. It almost got Kavanaugh killed. So, and I don't think that we've ever identified that leaker. So, I'm. There needs to be a pucker factor where people need to think long and hard before they, you know, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but they need to really think hard before, is it really worth it, the risk I'm taking by leaking this information? And I'm kind of glad to see that at least maybe there's going to be a pucker factor now, no matter what side of the fence you're on politically.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the reality is when you have leaks, regardless of what side of the aisle the person may be on that's making the leak, I don't have really any sympathy for them when they're terminated. Leaks are, they compromise the entire system, and the system has got to be maintain its integrity. And we all have our political beliefs and views, but you have to be neutral in your performance of your duties, and to be leaking any information that's confidential, it has to stop. At every level, like you said, Chip, this isn't the first time we've seen it, you know, impact the Supreme Court, and at some point it's got to end. And really holding people accountable, and first starting with them losing their job, is the first step in maintaining the integrity of these systems that have to be upheld.
And you got to think that this is strategic, that there was some purpose behind that. It's just not like, oh, I told my buddy who happens to know a reporter and the information got out that way. I mean, there's some strategy behind that leaking of information. And I think that's what's being uncovered.
Yeah. Agreed. Well, gentlemen, we have our story. We're the first video component at rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. Additional body cam released in the fatal shooting of a murder suspect inside Alliance Towers.
Fuck, get out of the grid. John Galantis!
Get up here! Get up here, motherfuckers! Go!
John Galantis!
Put it down!
On the grid! Hey. Now!
Fuck, get out of the grid!
John Galantis!
Get up here! Get up here, motherfuckers! Go!
John Galantis!
Stop!
Jesus Christ. Okay.
Let me see your hands.
Put your gun down. I'm going to throw. Kevin, I'm on you. I'm with Kevin.
I'm with Kevin.
Shots fired.
Everybody get back in your room.
An apartment complex. Now, this is in Ohio, Jeff. Yeah, imagine that. So, you know, Alliance, Ohio, I'm sure Jeff will give us the skinny on this place, and it's the Alliance Police Department. They didn't really list the police agency in the article. I had to do a freeze frame on and read the patch on the cops, you know, to make sure that it was the Alliance Police Department, and it was. So there's some interesting stuff going on here. So they released body cam footage. It's a Saturday morning shoot showing officers they confront and fatally shoot a guy who had shot a woman on Thursday at Alliance Towers apartment complex. So I can kind of see the Alliance Tower logo over Jeff's shoulder on his wall there. The video, which is 55 seconds long, and they start off with a side-by-side sync view of both officers involved in the shooting. It starts with four officers. They ride in an elevator, and then they end up getting off on the fifth floor where someone warns police, hey, he's got a gun. He shot her. And then the officers, they start going down the long hallway to confront the shooter. The guy leading the charge, he's armed with a pistol. I have every indication from watching this and the way he berated the officers with him that he was a supervisor. And he's got a guy behind him to the right with a long gun, and then another guy behind him with a long gun. So this supervisor is ahead of these guys armed with a pistol. And then when you start hearing the first shot ring off where the suspect shoots the woman, and then a second shot where we don't know whether we're shooting at police or the woman, but no cops weren't hit. Then he tells the guy with the rifles to get up there, making him look like an idiot and saying, hey, you need to get up there and start, you know, do something, you know. We're going to cover this more in a second, guys. Commercial break. Stick with us. It's a good story. We'll be right back. All right, guys. Introducing Arrow Defense by Arrow Precision at arrowprecisionusa.com, the beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Arrow Defense by Arrow Precision demands perfection, because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit arrowprecisionusa.com for a lineup that matches every discipline, because they basically have something for everybody. And, you know, way back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with soulless bolt actions. And that's not all. Their M4 E1 Pro and Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market last year at arrowprecisionusa.com. The embodiments of duty rifle excellence, now being tailored for the civilian customer. That means that now you can start getting your hands on this primo stuff. And their M5 AR-308 platform, nothing short of spectacular. So don't settle for less. When you can have the best, head over to arrowprecisionusa.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Chief Joel Schultz and Lieutenant Jeff Wininger. And guys, we have been talking about a neat story. It's in Alliance, Ohio, and it's titled Additional Body Cam Release in the Fatal Shooting of a Murder Suspect Inside the Alliance Tower. So we've got four cops from the Alliance Police Department riding an elevator up to the fifth floor of this apartment complex, and narrow hallways. They get off and somebody says, hey, he's got a gun. He shot her. But, you know, look, some of the stuff makes sense and some of it doesn't. I never heard a guy tell the cops. I heard them say that he had a gun, but I never heard anyone tell the cops, hey, he's got a gun, he shot her. And then when they're approaching the bad guy at the end of the hallway, who's kind of hard to see initially until they get close enough to see him and the female on the ground. But, you know, you hear a shot and supposedly it's him taking out the female. She ends up dying. And then you hear a second shot and we're not sure whether he shot her again or at her again or at the police officers. No cops were ever hurt. But of course there's three officers initially really in this body cam. And you've got, I don't know if he's a supervisor, but a guy calling the shots, leading the charge with a pistol. And he's beside a guy with a long gun that's really behind him. And then another guy directly behind this guy with another long gun. Obviously, knowing that a guy's got a gun, the long gun should have been leading the charge. But this guy, when the shots start getting fired, this guy yells at the closest AR to him that start laying lead down the hallway. And I'll let you guys describe what happened after that. But anyhow, they end up laying down some lead, and then they get close enough, and then both people are down. The female and the male are down at the end of the hallway. And it says that they had actually the gunman's name is 63-year-old Mason French and then 56-year-old for Stacy Pride, who's the female. And they don't really say what the relationship was and why, you know, he did what he did. But that's kind of where we're at. So, gentlemen, whoever wants to start us off with this, Chief Schultz, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I wanted to talk first because I'm going to yield to Jeff, because this tactical stuff is way more in his bailiwick than my specific training background. But this was a tactical nightmare in my view, you know, and Jeff can talk about what kind of strategies you could have for cover, concealment, and land down fire. It was a nightmare. Plus the chaos of, you know, when you watch the video and the audio with the fire alarms going off and the smoke and all that kind of stuff and people coming out, well, am I supposed to evacuate for the fire? No, get back inside. And what Jeff would think about that lead officer with the pistol, tapping out and yielding to the guy with the rifle, because that's not really effective pistol range. So I think that was probably a good idea, but maybe the rifle should have led. I don't know. I'll be interested to see what the lieutenant has to say.
Well, I'll start off by saying, I don't know specifically what the nature of the call was that they were responding to. However, I can make some assumptions because they had the long rifles deployed. So I would assume that they were anticipating the potential of walking into a lethal force scenario. Would we all agree with that?
Absolutely.
So why would you take an elevator? You never take an elevator. When you respond to these types of calls and you have multiple floors, at a minimum, stop two floors shy and then take the steps up. Because you don't know if a suspect will be standing on the other side of those doors when they open up, and that's a 50-50, where you can control it if you're coming up through a stairwell. And generally, stairwells have the doors with a window in them, so you can get a nice peek, get some observation. What we used to always do is I always had a bag that I would clip around my waist, and I'd carry it with like door stops and all kinds of different things that I would need from a tactical standpoint on making entries into the rooms, or in this case, a hallway where you can secure the door, have it open so you can properly slice the pie and those sorts of things. So, you know, they put themselves at a disadvantage, one, by taking the elevator, two, you need to do your homework. If you're going to be deploying those types of weapons, you need to have some idea where the apartment number is located in that hallway. So they should have known that they were going to have this long hallway that they were going to have to navigate, and you'd want to avoid that. Another reason why you would want to take the stairs, because the stairs actually were right there next to the location of the suspect's apartment. So that being said, always you want to lead with the long rifle when you have them available. This guy, I suspect, as the chief mentioned during the break, that this guy probably wasn't a supervisor, but he was the old salt of the earth, and he was, you know, the guy who ran things. I don't know why, because I didn't see much of anything that he did that was proper. So he, like you said, Chip, he goes first with a pistol with this long hallway, not a good thing. And then he starts directing the guy up, and then he even lays his hand on the long rifle itself. What are you doing? You don't ever do that. I mean, these are just things that you never do. There's no tolerance for it whatsoever. So from that tactical standpoint, after the shooting occurs, then we transition to all kinds of things where there's things that you need to be worrying about. From a tactical standpoint, you need to get like a public safety statement. You need to know how many rounds were approximately fired, in what direction, are there any outstanding suspects, things that the person that's going to be the incident commander needs to start putting teams together to handle. So when we saw guys go in and start clearing locations, that was cool. You need to do those sorts of things. But we also have to worry about some of these errant rounds. Perhaps they went into one of these apartments and hit an innocent person. We don't know. They may have hit somebody outside as well if it went through the walls. So you need to be checking for that for public safety purposes. But you don't need to be starting your investigation. In the state of Ohio, when you have an officer-involved shooting, you have the Ohio Bureau of Criminal Investigation that will do the investigation. And after you're done with the tactical aspect of it, you freeze everything down, you lock it all down. And you just saw people walking through there, pointing out, you know, impacts and all these sorts of things. And when I was the officer in charge of the detective fence, you investigated all officer-involved shootings, which I had hundreds. I would have lost my mind when I showed up if I would have seen what they were doing, you know. Yes, they, you know, it's important what they did relative to emergency medical care to the individuals, but they appeared to already be deceased at that point. But you know, there's just so much. I didn't see one thing that I could compliment them on. And I really had an issue with how this guy conducted himself and spoke to who, the people that he works with. And I'm sure they do too. And I just suspect they have a real toxic culture in that organization. And it just, and then when the lieutenant showed up, he didn't seem like he had any idea what to do. They probably don't see this stuff very often. I don't have any data on how frequently they have officer involved shootings there, but I got to tell you, most of those officers didn't even look like they'd ever seen a dead person before. They had a deer in the headlight look. And really when these critical incidents occur, you have to have the training, the expertise and the knowledge to know what you're supposed to be doing rather than just standing there with a deer in the headlight and just kind of checking things out. Because you're contaminating the scene. We have a crime scene. And, because those investigations serve two purposes. First and foremost, you need to investigate because they're going to have to adjudicate to ensure that the shooting was proper from an administrative standpoint. But the district attorney will also look at it to clear the officers of any criminal culpability. Where in this case, it appeared to be an appropriate shooting. It's just the tactics should have been a little better.
Yeah. Yeah, ditto. Yeah, I get it. I totally agree. Chief Schultz?
Yeah, I mean, the good news is they took the bad guy out. So, you know, ultimately a happy ending from that perspective. And I'm kind of like you, Chip. I was a little confused about the sequence of the victim going down. That would have been a whole different scenario if you'd had a suspect and a living person, in terms of marksmanship and how you execute deadly force from that distance with a potential hostage situation. But, that's theoretical. But it all comes back as, Jeff alluded to, is training, practice, knowing your bailiwick, and having not just, we do a lot of scenario training, which most of which is inadequate. Immediately after, 5 minutes later, and prior to arrival of the state authorities that, as you mentioned, in Ohio was responsible for investigating that, we and I've written an article about this, that we don't start our scenario training far back enough in the actual process of an event, nor do we take it far enough after the critical part of the event, because that's all part of something that we need to know and be able to react to appropriately, as Jeff said.
Perfect timing, Chief. Coming up for our next commercial break, guys. Stick with us. We got another story with a video component coming up. We'll be right back. All right, guys. It's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day. But it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Appianco. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, Daniel Kelly, has a deal for you. If you have your own agency, if you're a chief or sheriff, you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity. You can go to GunLearn.com to get more information. Again, GunLearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Dr. Joel Schultz, retired police chief and former LAPD commander Jeff Winninger, retired as a lieutenant, also author of On Thin Ice at OnThinIceBook.com. Gentlemen, Jeff, I know that we were talking about an interesting story before our last commercial break where we had the cavalry getting out of the elevator and going down the hallway towards the bad guy. Your continued commentary.
Yeah, just one thing for any officers that happen to be watching or listening. You really need to not have a mud mouth when an incident like this occurs. Generally speaking, you're going to have legal representation, you're going to have an official interview, and you do not need to be making your story known to everybody that's responding. We kind of saw that here, and it's just not a good idea, especially it's being captured on the body-worn video, and you really are doing yourself perhaps a disservice. Basically, the only information you should give up would be something relative to the public safety, rounds fired, outstanding suspects, things that need to be known right now to ensure public safety and to potentially apprehend an outstanding suspect. But other than that, what you observed, what caused you to make the decision to fire, all those sorts of things, you really just, it's difficult because you've been involved in a stressful circumstance and you want to explain what happened, but I just really encourage you not to do so. It takes discipline, but keep your mouth shut.
Good advice. Good advice. And guys, please be in shape to be able to take the stairs instead of the elevator. Even if you have Better Being with you, please take the stairs. Or like Jeff said, if you're really going high, maybe a partial climb via stairs. I mean, I can see if you got 12 or 13 flights, maybe there's an argument for taking the elevator partway if you're not, you know, training for triathlons or anything. But yeah, other than that, it just doesn't give a good look. You guys ready to go on to the next story with a video component? All right, I don't want to move too quickly here, but we've only we got about 7 minutes here. Rumble.com. This is Butter is the name of the channel. It's one of our favorite law enforcement video channel, actually. An armed suspect who failed to register as a sex offender ends up being shot during a struggle.
Behind your back. Put your hand behind your back. Just stop. Stop. Dude, stop.
Motherfucker, you kicked me in my face.
Get the other back.
Gun. Stop reaching. Put your hands out or I'm going to fucking kill you.
Don't
stop reaching. I'll fucking shoot you right now.
Okay.
He's got a gun.
Ow, I can't breathe.
Stop reaching.
Okay, I can't breathe.
I will fucking shoot you.
I can't breathe.
You are not getting up.
I can't breathe. Okay. I can't breathe. Oh, God.
Yo, I got my gun pointed.
Oh, God.
Stop.
Oh, God.
Stop moving!
Okay.
I will fucking shoot you.
Okay.
Stop moving!
I'm just...
Well,
oh, God! I can't... Okay. Please stop me. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Please.
Charles, 157.
Oh.
Shots fired.
Oh.
Do you have the gun? No, it's still under him.
I'm glad we're covering this. We had one months ago where the bad guy actually, they were trying to get his hands out from underneath him, and the gun discharged, shot the bad guy, and I think it shot one or two cops as well. And that was one round. So you know, I've seen some bad things happen. This is and this is the chief wanted to cover, Spokane, Washington. So February the 9th, 2025, they respond to the Hart Terrace Apartments, and maybe similar to the ones there where you're at, Jeff. Anyhow, in East Central for reports of suspicious activity. So the agency says that when they get there, they run the license plate number of a truck that's in the parking lot. There's people inside of it, and the truck was registered to Robert Charles Boatson, who has an outstanding felony warrant for his arrest because he failed to register as a sex offender. And so, remember, the vehicle is full of people. So in the body cam footage, we have two officers. They approach our bad guy, Boatson, and he's walking back to the truck at this point. So one officer, because they just ran him on the computer check, and they know his name, hey, Charles. And he responds, hey, I'm not Charles. And so then they tell him, hey, put your hands behind your back. Officers then tell him to stop resisting. They put him face down on the ground. So an officer can then be heard shouting at our bad guy and that he had a gun. Now, he had it under his body, and we have, at this point, two officers dealing with the bad guy. And after that, an officer can be heard yelling, stop resisting, I'll effing shoot you right now. The officer then says the gun was under the body of our bad guy, continues to tell the said that tell the bad guy to stop resisting or that he was going to shoot him. And then while boat center bad guys on the ground, you can hear a gunshot go off. And then the officer yells over the radio, shots fired. And at this point, the guy, it seems like he changes his attitude. He wants to cooperate, but he really doesn't until we get our third officer there that's able to get both hands, you know, behind his back and get him handcuffed. They still had that weapon under there. It said that they provided emergency medical care for him before he was taken to the hospital. One commentary, well, you guys talk about it, but I know that one thing that I don't like seeing, especially when you've got a gun involved. I saw one officer hands-on and the other officer that was hands-on was basically standing there providing a good body cam footage and maybe had his hand on the touching the back of the bad guy. But I didn't see, in large part two officers that were trying to make this a safe environment. You know, that kind of bothered me a little bit, but, whoever wants to start this one off first, guys, we got about almost 4.5 minutes. So I think Jeff, you've been elected.
Well, when I like I always do, I watch the entire video. You had to start a couple like whatever into it, but I listened to the whole thing. So that was broadcast that this guy was an unregistered sex offender, but that he was a history of being armed. So with the officers knowing that, an area for improvement would be the manner in which they confronted the individual, where they just went up and laid hands on you. You have to make some type of assumptions that if you're getting that information, that it's likely he perhaps is armed with a gun in the moment that you're going to be taking him into custody. So you want to be behind some cover. You want to be giving some verbal commands. You want to know what your background looks like in the event that you have to use lethal force, all of those sorts of things. So you can try to predetermine and best dictate the most optimal outcome if things go sideways. So, you know, when it did go sideways on him, it was kind of tough to see. You know, you can have a gun underneath you as long as your arms aren't under there. It's going to be hard for him to pull the trigger. I couldn't tell where his arms were throughout the entire incident. I really can't. I don't have an opinion or comment relative to whether it was appropriate to shoot him at that time or not. But, you know, in that instance, like you said, Chip, he's got two arms, so it's going to take at least two people to control those arms. And, you know, when you only have one officer on him, that's kind of a circumstance where people can be at peril. So there were areas to be improved upon, but, you know, that just shows how quickly you know, things can deteriorate.
Yeah, and there, for argument, I mean, there's an argument, even if you're not going to be able to get the gun away, even if you're just going to hold the guy until you get more guys there to be able to extract that gun, I could see an argument for, hey, you just want to keep the guy from being able to get to that gun, because we have seen where they've been able to shoot from under the body, cops get hit. But just, yeah, you're right. Just the one cop being in charge of trying to keep everything safe, have control of the guy's arms. It just was a missed opportunity. When the third cop got there, I'm glad that they got it done. But yeah, I'm just so glad that he didn't pull the trigger.
And you know, people need to train where, you know, if you really are fighting this guy and you know that him to have a gun underneath him and he's trying to free his hands, dislocate his elbow, dislocate his shoulder.
You don't see enough strikes. And I mean, it's one thing to do pressure points and stuff, but we still don't see, when you're in a situation like this, which ultimately was a lethal situation, right? I don't think that any of us are going to, we certainly don't have enough information to believe that it wasn't a good shoot, especially with all the verbalization. But you're right. I didn't see any strikes or anything that would have certainly been completely justified. We've just gotten out of the habit of doing some of the basic defensive tactics stuff.
Yeah, I think we're still stuck in that stair step kind of mentality that we taught years ago. And you start out real light, and then you match and exceed all the way up. I would like to have seen a much more aggressive takedown right from the start. And as we mentioned in some pre-conversations, the glove might have been a great alternative here on the initial contact. But this guy was quite cool and a manipulator. He pretended that wasn't his truck, walked by, said it wasn't him. He gave the old, I can't breathe and I'm trying to comply. Quite an actor. He deserves some kind of award for that. And I'd like to punch the guy in the mouth that's in the background saying, I want your badge numbers, not realizing that they were taking down an armed child rapist.
Oh, yeah. And my name's not Charles. Yeah. Yeah, no, I get it. So, all right. So there's a lot to be learned. And look, not to be overly critical of the guys in the agency. There's certainly, if you watched videos of all my arrests, they could be picked apart and there's always something to be learned, but if we can just save one guy. So good commentary, gentlemen. Thank you guys so much. Dr. Joel Schultz at schultzco@gmail.com. And, if you're interested in any of his books, we'll have him talk, in just a second about more of that. And Jeff Weninger at jeffweninger.com or onthinicebook.com. Of course, this new book is called On Thin Ice. I usually take this opportunity to talk about the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org, Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3 that's helping cops out in a world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. So if you haven't checked them out lately, please go to the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org and consider supporting them. They're doing some great work. A shout out to our sponsors, guys. Please support our sponsors. They go to the great lengths to bring this good quality content to you. Gauls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com, GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com, TubeBells.com, and FisherOrlandoBass.com. And I'm going to check in one more time to see if we have enough entrants for the TubeBells giveaway. But we'll look for you guys back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern. Thanks so much for watching today's show. Please be back tomorrow.